rocker of AC/DC was found dead last night in a parked car in South London. Scotland Yard said the body of 30-year-old Bon Scott was discovered by a friend who had left him in the car hours earlier to sober up after a day's drinking.
Yeah, this was back in about 1957 or 8, I think it was, you know. And I used to sing in the shower, like my mum would say, Bon, if you can't sing proper songs, shut up. You know, don't sing this rock and roll garbage, you know. And now, of course, she loves it very much, you know.
Let the ugliness reign. I'm gonna tell it to the north, gonna tell it to the south, gonna tell it to the east, and gonna tell it to the west. Now there's only one. Mad Mark After Dark. The man that hates everything except the real thing. Coming to you once again, right here and right now. So you better listen, because I always tell it like it is. Always have and always will. And tonight is certainly no different than any other night. Now, I've told this story many times since I started doing the Mark After Dark show, and it's about the impact that Bon Scott has had on my life, and that hasn't really changed one bit, and it probably never will. Going back to the summer of 1976, and for me personally, it was just another wasted, hot, sticky, humid, season. There's a reason why I like to call it Sweat Fest. You know, the one thing that I hated almost as much as summer is when my parents sent me to summer day camp every fucking year. Yeah, and it didn't really help that I sucked at playing sports. Man, look, I tried just about everything. I mean, I tried soccer. Sucked at that. I tried basketball, man, and football and hockey. But you know what? When I tried softball and baseball, but I was always afraid to catch the ball. I was afraid the ball was going to hit me in the face. I just couldn't catch a break, I tell you. So, well, on this particular day, I decided to take a stand. And since I was always the last one picked for softball, have any of you out there ever been the last one picked for anything like that? Man, you stand there and the bigger kids would pick out kids for their team. And you're standing, it's like a ritual. I'll take this guy, I'll take that guy. Well, all of a sudden it came down to me and I was the last one standing, as I usually am in every occasion. Fine, we'll take Mark and lose the game. So I made the decision that this would be the last time and I will never be picked last. I will never forget what my camp counselor told me. He said to me, "You gotta be a team player no matter what." And I said right back to him, as I threw my baseball glove in the air, "I will never be a team player," and gave him the middle finger, which was the very first time I ever gave somebody the middle finger, and then walked away. You know, in my opinion, even though I hadn't thought of doing Mark After Dark, I consider that to be the invention of the Mark After Dark show that very day. So I went home and sat on my porch as I usually did with my father's little black transistor radio, thinking about what I was going to do with the rest of my life. I mean, I was a social outcast with barely any friends. But I also remember something my father telling me, and he told me never to tune into the FM radio stations. But of course, I always thought of him as being an idiot, and I never listened to any of his stupid nonsense. So as I turned on the radio and adjusted the dial, I accidentally tuned into Carol Miller's program on 95.5 WPLJ here in New York City. Now, she was playing this brand new band called AC/DC from Australia, and the song I heard was "It's a Long Way to the Top." You hear Malcolm Young's guitar playing first, that opens up the song, and then you hear Bon Scott's vocals. Now, that song changed my life, and at that very moment in time, I have not looked back since. Now, Bon was a major influence and inspiration, and without him, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair right now talking to all of you. And if it wasn't for him, I would certainly not be listening to all the music I do. I've often considered him to be more of a blues singer singing hard rock. His soulful voice singing about sex and love lost in his quirky sort of sense of humor is something that every one of us goes through. And his passion for music gave me something to believe in. Now, music became my escape and is still my escape to this very day. I put my headphones on and man, oh man, it takes me to a different world. His influence also opened up my mind, not only to hard rock and classic heavy metal, but also to the blues and country music as well. I'm telling you, without him, I would have never listened to Lynyrd Skynyrd and Ronnie Van Zant, Philip Lynott and Thin Lizzy, Joan Jett, Lita Ford, Sherry Curry, The Runaways, Lemmy and Motorhead, and even Waylon Jennings, for that matter, who we featured last week. All of these people have become my heroes because of Bon Scott. Now, my parents called Bon the troublemaker because Bon gave me the rebellious streak that I have and made it seem okay for me to be myself. Now, Ronald Belford Scott was born on July 9th, 1946, in Scotland and spent his early years in Kidderminster. His family moved to Australia in 1952 when he was just about 6 years old, and they lived in Melbourne for 4 years and then moved to Fremantle. Now, unexpectedly, Bon Scott passed away on February 19, 1980, sometime during the late evening of February 18th and early morning of the 19th. He passed out and died at the age of 33 years old in the back seat of a car. Tell you, I have never truly gotten over it. One thing that stood out for me and something I'll never forget is hearing the same DJ that introduced me to Bon Scott and AC/DC on PLJ, Carol Miller, now on WNEW-FM, reporting the sad news of Bon Scott's death. Now, this stayed in my mind because she got very emotional. And when I heard about it was on Thursday morning, February 21st, 1980. One of the saddest things. I mean, I woke up, they were playing a handful of AC/DC songs. I was jumping around, playing air guitar and listening to it. That was the greatest thing. I went from being super happy to super sad. And from that day forward, I promised Bon that I would never forget him. Whatever I do, he will always be in my heart and mind. And that's why we open up the show with It's a Long Way to the Top every single week. Now, Bon had many affiliations, which included his membership to the Associated Fremantle Scots Pipe Band. He also learned to play the drums. He attended North Fremantle Primary School and later John Curtin's College of the Arts until he dropped out at the age of 15 years old. Now, Bon also spent a short time in Fremantle Prison Assessment Center and 9 months at the Riverbank Juvenile Institution, and even attempted to join the Australian Army, but was rejected and was deemed socially maladjusted. Bon Scott joined his first band, the Spectres, in 1964 and became the band's drummer and occasional lead vocalist. Now, John Collins and Bon Scott, along with Barry Gannon on bass guitar, Murray Gracie on rhythm guitar and vocals, and Wayne Milsom on guitar. Now, Collins and Scott would each play a half a set as a drummer and the other half as lead vocalist. Now, they performed what they considered to be beat pop and rock and roll music, and the band was active in Perth from 1964 to mid-1966. In October of 1965, the group recorded 4 tracks for a local TV show called Club 17, including a cover version of Gloria. So tonight, we pay tribute to my ultimate rock and roll hero, the one that gave me life, Mr. Ronald Belford Scott. I light my candle to him every single year and listen to him. So take a listen to this cover, and we'll be back. There you go.
Right now, John Collins is going to take up the drums position, and the drummer, Bon Scott, who we spoke to a little bit earlier on Jukebox Jury, is going to be singing a song, and it's a number called Gloria. So here they are, John Collins and the Spectres and Gloria.
Well, I tell you about my baby. You know, she comes around. She's about 5'4". Long hair, that's brown. You know, she comes around here just about midnight. She made me feel so good, Lord. Well, she made me feel all right. Yeah. good love. Wow, she made me feel alright. She come walking down my street. She come to my house. She knocked upon my door. And then she come to my room. Wow, she made me feel alright.
Australia, I was in a band. We were opposition bands in a very small club scene, and we both were essentially rock and roll bands of the time. And I was in a band called The Dimensions, and he was in a band called The Spectres. He mostly played drums. The lead singer then was a guy called John Collins, and Bon used to get up and sing maybe three or four songs a night. We were playing at the same venues, and he and I struck up a friendship. He was a great singer, guttural voice, and had great potential. I suggested to him one time that he should, you know, sing more rather than play drums, but it wasn't his band. The band was led by John Collins, and the man, he was the singer, and there wasn't any way that Bon was going to make it to be full-time singer of that band. And because both of the bands were in competition, it was a very competitive field at that time. I suggested to Bon that we join ranks and form one band and have two lead singers. And, you know, because we both loved soul music at that stage. We loved Sam and Dave in particular, and a lot of other stuff, you know, Small Faces stuff that was coming out from here, and Stevie Winwood stuff. And we thought it would be a good idea to have a duo out front, two singers, do a lot of Sam and Dave stuff, a lot of soul stuff, and, you know, have a good stage act. He agreed with that, because I think the only reason he agreed with it is because he really wanted to be a singer, and that was the only way he could. And, of course, it happened very quickly. We did join. He brought a couple of members of his band. I brought a couple of members of my band, and we formed a band called The Valentines.
Every day I have to cry. when you're having fun together. Anywhere you'd like to be, grab a Coke and make it better. Coke and fun go naturally. Coca-Cola's so refreshing. Anytime you'd like to try, get around an ice cold bottle. Only Coke can satisfy. Coca-Cola lifts you up when you're feeling down.
Valentine's doing the heavy for Coca-Cola.
The Valentines were formed in late 1966 with the combination of the Spectres and the Winston. And the band was active from 1966 until 1970. Now, as we were talking about, Bon Scott was a part-time lead singer in the Spectres and drummer, and Vince Lovegrove was the lead singer of the Winstons. They capitalized on the success of both of their former bands, plus the interest in having two lead singers. And the Valentines were heavily inspired by early Rolling Stones records and the Beatles, and included local superstars, the Easy Beats. In late 1967, the Valentines moved to Melbourne in search of greater success and soon toured other major cities with a development towards the popular bubblegum sound growing all over Australia at that time. But late in 1968, the band became more in demand, and particularly among teenage girls. They enjoyed considerable success and had released a handful of singles, including Every Day I Have to Cry, which was released in May of 1967, and Suki Suki, which was released in 1968. However, as the fashion for bubblegum music wore off, the Valentines struggled to retain their musical credibility despite a turn towards more of a rock sound. With differing opinions within the bands concerning their musical direction, the group's stability began to suffer, so they decided to disband began amicably in August of 1970. And Fraternity were formed in Sydney, New South Wales in early 1970 by John Bissett on keyboards and vocals, Tony Bestell on drums, Bruce Howe on bass guitar and vocals, and Mick Jerd on lead guitar. Now, Howe was looking for a lead vocalist and called on Bon Scott, and the Valentines had just disbanded. Fraternity released two studio albums, Livestock in 1971 and Flaming Galah in April of 1972. And the band played more of a progressive and psychedelic sound, which seemed almost out of character for Bon Scott, but seemed to be a precursor of what was to come next in Bon Scott's career. Leading into the next section of music, If You Got It, off Fraternity's 1972 release, is a perfect opener. So take a listen, and we'll be back.
By your virgin name. Chips.